They're all posted at libertyandprosperity.com. And there's a lot of new and interesting stuff, which I believe will make you better informed than half the people, the so-called experts in our government and even in our military and even in the Israeli government, especially the history that we've done on the roots of what's going on in Israel and Gaza, that it didn't start with 2005, didn't start with October 7th, didn't start in 1948, started 300 years ago with a preacher in Arabia named Muhammad Wahhab, who was shaping Islamic culture at the same time that Benjamin Franklin was flying his kites in Philadelphia. And we'll talk about that during the course of the program. And but before we get started, I just want to mention a couple of news items, and that is dealing with the biased news that is shaping public opinion and is shaping the presidential election. I don't know if you listened to the top of the news just now, just on Fox News. They talked about there were three candidates in Iowa at a Thanksgiving family convention or gathering of some sort. And the three, of course, were Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, and a high-tech, billionaire called Vivek Ramaswamy. They're all there. But notice how Fox News only described what Nikki Haley had to say and what Ramaswamy had to say and didn't even mention the name of Ron DeSantis. So, and if you have been following the race, you'll notice that Nikki Haley has been rising, Trump has stayed in the lead, and of course, Ron DeSantis has been losing support. And why is he losing support? Well, do you think the coverage of our so-called conservative media, like you just heard a few minutes ago, has something to do with it? We'll talk about it at 609-407-1450. Now, what I'd like to do, normally, of course, John DeMasi opens a discussion with about a 10-minute monologue, and then he normally brings me on, and I speak until the bottom of the hour. But since I'm here for the full opening 20 or 25 minutes, I'm going to sort of combine John's monologue with what I would say, and then open things up to calls starting with the 9:30 hour. First, a couple of items that it's funny how the most important stuff never seems to make the headline news. And I'll give an example. Even though I'm retired as a lawyer, and even though I spend more time working at my retirement hobby of trying to save Western civilization with libertyandprosperity.com, I still have my phone number, my lawyer phone number, and I still get calls from people with legal questions. And I got a call about a situation that just shows the total absurdity of a government in America that has no common sense whatsoever. It was a gentleman who had applied for a job as a school bus driver, and he was denied because 25 years ago he had a violation for possession of under 25 grams of marijuana. And he said, well, how can I get the job? And I said, well, it should be. It's so remote in time. Gee whiz, you must have been in your early 20s. He said, yeah, that was before I got married, before I got a job, before I did all these other things. So I've grown up a whole lot since then. And now with so-called legal marijuana all over the place, he didn't think it would be a problem. And I said, well, I'm sure that if you would contact the proper school officials, they would say that, honestly disclosed your past problem. You're obviously well over it. You should be able to drive. So it turns out that that offense is called a disqualifying offense, and he cannot get a job driving a school bus because of what happened 25 years ago for a very minor offense that did not involve any what we call moral turpitude, any criminal criminal situation. But they did tell him that he could get the job if he got his record expunged. And I don't happen to do that anymore. It's a process that takes about 6 to 8 weeks where you have to notify various law enforcement agencies. You have to show you've had a clean record since, and they will expunge the record. And believe it or not, once you get a record expunged, it is legal to lie in New Jersey. You can legally say, I swear I have no previous convictions or no criminal record, and the state can't use it. It's gone from your records. So isn't this absurd? I mean, what difference does it make if somebody has a minor violation that does not affect their present character or ability to do a job today, or whether you force that person to spend about $1,500 and 2 months to get a piece of paper from a judge that says we're going to pretend that the criminal record did not exist. I mean, I'm putting that right up there with what I spoke about a week or two ago about you own a house on an island community like Brigantine, Atlantic City, Ventnor, Margate, Longport, Ocean City, and so on. And it's an old house. You want to put in a new bathroom. You want to put in a new kitchen. You want to get better windows and so on. And then you find out that you can't get any building permits unless you agree to spend $75,000 to raise the building 14 feet off the ground, supposedly to protect the environment and all that stuff. So what you used to have in America, we used to have a country where people were sort of rewarded for doing the right thing, punished for doing the wrong thing. And now in America, it's just the opposite, that if you try to follow common sense and do the right thing, the law punishes you. And if you do the most absurd things, you're rewarded. So just my thought on that this morning. The other thing I'd like to talk about, the Liberty and Prosperity teaching calendar. As I pointed out, after months of research and with the help of a historical commission grant from the state and from the Atlanta County, Liberty and Prosperity put together a calendar, which is a remarkable document, and I never realized how good it was. You know, sometimes you start a project and you want to do something, and it turns out much better beyond your wildest dreams. Well, that's what this calendar is about, because besides being a calendar, it tells an inspiring story every month about real people who lived in Atlantic City, in the South Jersey area, who gave us the culture of liberty and government that we have. And we also have others who took advantage of that and saw those opportunities and achieved spectacular success. And the calendars, they cost us $2.50 to produce. We're giving them out in packets of 10 for $20. But we're waiving that fee in a lot of situations because this is not really a fundraiser for libertyandprosperity.com. It's an educational project. So if you can put these calendars in the hands of people who would actually read them, especially young people, we would waive the fee and give those to you. So I keep quoting my old mess sergeant from basic training. We invite you to take what you want, but eat what you take with these calendars. And here's what's remarkable about these calendars. There was a letter to the editor of the Press of Atlantic City last Thursday. And for those of you who get the press, of course, we get it mailed to us and we get it online. But you had a letter from a woman or a girl, I don't know, called Anne Pompilio of Brigantine. And she wrote this letter, saying, I forget her exact term about how, let's see, it says, maybe, the headline was, maybe non-white skin is less valued than white. That was the theme of her letter published in last Thursday's press. And basically, the letter opened with Anne Pompilio of Brigantine saying, my Irish ancestors faced discrimination. My Italian ancestors were not considered white. It only took about one generation for their progeny to be considered true Americans, entitled to all America has to offer, because European immigrants of varied ethnicities intermarried, produced white children who had the right to call themselves American. So what she said, in a way, was true. That was the miracle of America. That when my grandparents came to this country, my grandfather could not get a job in his engineering profession because he was a Jew. Others were discriminated. But he had faith in America, knowing that if you worked hard, you applied your talent, you saved, you planned, you worked with others, you could achieve the American dream. Now we take that for granted. And now we're all called, we're nothing but white people. But I have a clear memory of how this was not the case in the old country. Back in the Europe, if you were Irish, you were of the Irish race forever. You never had a chance to get accepted in England. If you were Jewish, you never had a chance to get accepted. I know Italian immigrants, if your father, you know, didn't own land or didn't have connections with the local nobility, you could never succeed, no matter how good you were. And that was the brilliance of America. And I saw this when I was a student in the 1970s. I used to hang around the Irish pub on St. James Place in Atlantic City at the time of the Troubles. At that time, you had Catholic Irishmen and Protestant Irishmen who were killing each other. And I remember sitting around the bar where you had a whole, maybe a couple dozen of Irish students. And I said, how can you possibly have a fight over religion like that? How do you even know who's Catholic and who's Protestant? And what really stunned me there at the Irish pub, you have 20, 30 students sitting around a bar, and an Irish friend of mine said, oh yeah, that one's a cat. Gee, that one's Catholic. This one's a prod. This one's a cat. They knew. And I had no idea how they knew, but when you hate and you have bigotry, it doesn't matter what skin, you know, color your skin is. So the fact that we in America overcame that so quickly is something to be proud of America for. But then the letter goes on and she says, all these European immigrants, and just a couple years later, they're all their children and grandchildren, they're considered white and they're accepted as Americans. But then she falsely says this, this Anne Pompilio of Brigantine. The same cannot be said of black, brown, or biracial people. Hard work, advancement, and education do not guarantee Americanism. Why? Maybe because non-white skin is still less valued than white in the land of free, with liberty and justice for all? Now that statement is an absolute lie. And it's a product of what our public schools, what our colleges, what our media, and what our Hollywood entertainment is producing. The fact that I'd say 2/3 of young people believe that garbage. And that goes back to why our calendar is so important. Because in that calendar, if we go to the February panel, we have stories like John McKee, who created McKee City in Egg Harbor Township, right by English Creek Road. Very few people know that he was black, grew up as a slave, won his freedom, worked as at restaurants as a waiter in Philadelphia, and became a multi-millionaire by developing real estate. And one of his successful developments was McKee City in Egg Harbor Township. And he was certainly praised as an American, respected as an American. We also tell the story of George Henry White, again, slave in North Carolina. After the Civil War, he became a lawyer, a successful congressman, had developed a bank to help other blacks succeed. And when the South went crazy during what was called the, I guess, the Reconstruction, there's a whole story that we tell in the calendar. He came up with millions of blacks coming up north for what was called the Great Migration and built very successful lives in New Jersey. And of course, George Henry Wright founded the development of Whitesboro in Middle Township in Cape May County. And then we have the story of Sarah Spencer Washington, opened up a black woman, opened up a hair salon on Baltic Avenue in Atlantic City, found out that the hair products were and beauty products were not suitable for African-American hair or skin. So she goes and takes courses at Columbia University in chemistry, develops a wide range of products, and becomes a multimillionaire right here in Atlantic City. Now we tell her story. And there was a time when Black History Month was Black History Week, and before that it was Negro History Week. And basically the whole purpose of Negro History Week was to give examples, just like we have in the calendar, of Americans who were who worked, who succeeded, and who were recognized as good Americans way back to the time of George Washington. So that premise of Ann Pompilio is just so wrong, but there's such a great way to overcome that, you know, that kind of attitude or negative attitude towards America than by getting our Liberty and Prosperity calendar. And of course, to find out how to do it, log into libertyandprosperity.com, call the old Seth Grossman Summers Point Law Office, which is now the Liberty and Prosperity headquarters, 609-927-7333. That's the office number. Or show up at a Saturday morning breakfast between 9:30 and 10:30 at Sal's Cafe in Summers Point. And they always have plenty of calendars to hand out. And if you can find someone who'll read them, you'll really do the people you know, especially young people in your family, a great service. I'd like to do an experiment right now. I guess it's about 21 minutes after 9. And again, I'm going to take my normal break at 9:30 and then open it up to phone calls. And I see already we have John of Ocean City and Bob of Cape May waiting. But I'd like to talk about the presidential election. And actually, let's do an experiment. Let's have John or Bob of Cape May waiting on hold, and they'll be the first callers. But I'd like to do a snap poll of the election the way legendary Pinky Kravitz used to do it. He would just ask people to call in and not talk about the candidate, but just say which candidate they would vote for if the election were held today. And just give the name of the candidate, one quick reason why, and what their main source of news was. And that'll give us an idea as to where we stand in this presidential election. And he would always close it after 5 or 10 minutes because he just wanted to get a random sample of who happened to be listening to the program at that moment, without giving people time to call up all their friends and have an orchestrated campaign for or against a candidate. So do we have any open lines there to do this, Chris? So I'm going to ask you, starting now, 23 minutes, to call in and tell me, if the election were held today for president in the June primary of next year, please tell me on the air who you would vote for and why. And what your main source is, of course, if you're a Republican, the choices are Trump, DeSantis, Haley, Vivek, and Chris Christie. If you're a Democrat, the choices are Biden, Gavin Newsom, and RFK Jr. or Michelle Obama. All right, we have George of Atlantic City. Real quick, who would you vote for if the election were held today?
Absolutely, Donald J. Trump.
Okay, and the reason?
The only one that's got the testosterone to straighten this ship out.
Okay, very good. And what's your main source of news, George?
I listen to all of it.
Okay, thank you very much. Phone lines are open, 609-407-1450. If you'd like to call in, we're going to try this experiment to the bottom of the hour, if it works. And, of course, if it doesn't work and we don't get calls asking what your preference is, we'll just go on to the regular calling and my remaining 7 minutes of the monologue. So 407-1450, area code 609. If the election were held today and you were a Republican, and this were the June primary of next year, and you saw Trump, DeSantis, Haley, Vivek, and Chris Christie on the ballot, who would you vote for? If you're a Democrat and you saw Biden, Michelle Obama, or Gavin Newsom on the ballot, who would you vote for? Or would you vote for none of them or vote for RFK Jr.? All right, going once, going twice, phone lines are open, 609-407-1450. And by the way, if you call in for this, this does not count for whether you call in, because those who know me know that I have my own Grossman rule that I only allow one person to call in one show, one time to talk about one topic. But when I take these polls, I waive that rule just so we get people to call in.
Thank you.
All right.
IWPG.
And I'm going to eagerly await for the calls to come in from Chris. Again, if the primary election were held today.
Sean, where are you from?
And we have 5 minutes left to the bottom of the hour to do this. Republican, would you vote for Trump, DeSantis, Nikki, Vivek, or Christie? Democrat, would you vote for Biden? Would you vote for Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama? Okay, who do we have? Who's next? Joan from Absecon.
Good morning.
Good morning. If the election were held today, who would you vote for?
I would vote for Donald Trump.
Okay. The reason?
His past accomplishments and the things that he did when he was in office.
Very good. And your prime source of news?
I can't bring myself to sit any length of time in front of these news things, but... So I just flip through the news
stations. Okay, so it's various. Joan, thank you very much. Let's go to Sean of West Creek. Sean, who's your choice?
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's an independent. He realized the Democratic Party is corrupt and our primaries are rigged.
Okay, and your prime source of news?
Hello?
Atlantic City Press.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Sean. All right.
Yes, what's your name?
I have two waiting in line, 609-407-1450. Who's next? Nobody's on?
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to call it an end. The experiment did not work all that way. We got basically two for Trump. Oh, do we get two for Trump or three for Trump? I forget now.
Three.
With three for Trump and one for RFK Jr. And that just gives me 3 minutes to express my preference. And I would go for Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, as many of you know. And my my opinion is different from that of most of Liberty and Prosperity. In fact, our vice president, Brian Fitzherbert, is very much for Trump. But the reason I'm for DeSantis is, number one, that DeSantis understands the system and can talk the rhetoric into words. All right, I'm going to get the last one. Joe of Smithville. Are you calling in for your opinion?
Yes, for the poll.
Okay, could you make it a little louder in my earphones? I'm having trouble hearing.
Yeah, for the poll. I would vote for DeSantis. I have left the Republican Party. I'm independent now. But I would be able to go in and I would pick DeSantis because I think he's reasonable.
Okay.
I think Trump is a loose cannon.
All right. Now, just so you know, under New Jersey law, when you say you left the Republican Party, if you voted in a Republican primary before, of course, you could vote in June. But if you filled out a change of party affiliation card, you would not be able to vote in Republican primary unless you filled out a form 6 weeks ahead of time. All right. Thank you. And by the way, what's your prime source of news, Joe?
I Fox and like online stuff.
Fox and online. Very good. Thank you very much. All right, this will be the last one. And this is, was it Gabe?
Gail.
Oh, Gail of Galloway Township. If the primary election were today, who would you vote for president, Gail?
Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis. Okay.
And my primary sources are Fox News, some newspapers, and television. I try to get a mix.
Oh, very, very good. And your reason for DeSantis? Real quick, one sentence? Or?
I feel a very sound person. I think he really has the heart of the country and the best things for the people.
Okay. Well, I kept everyone all short. So thank you very much. And feel free to call again if you want to talk in more detail. All right, it's now 9:29, and I didn't even have a chance to go into my... The way I had it planned, I was going to have like 10 minutes of polling and 5 minutes to get my opinion in, but it turned out to be 10 minutes of polling and 1 minute for my opinion. So let's we take a normal break at the bottom of the hour. And this is Seth Grossman of LibertyAndProsperity.com, standing in, literally, for John DeMasi until the 11 o'clock hour when Joe Yakovich comes in and tells you in financial terms all the depressing stuff that I tell you from a political point of view. So you definitely want to hear him. I closed the Snap poll, and it was 3 for Trump, 2 for DeSantis, 1 for RFK Jr. And of course, it has no validity other than a snapshot as to somewhat where this radio audience is. All right, let's go to John of Ocean City, waiting patiently. John, welcome to the program. You're on the air, but let me caution you, one call, one topic, and please do not read. Please tell us, you know, your opinion as opposed to reading something. Thank you very much, John. You're on the air.
That's fine, but if I stay on topic, and it seems like I'm going off topic, at least let me finish my sentence.
Absolutely.
Regarding presidents, I think Ron DeSantis would make an excellent president, but I think we need him for the next decade. He's a younger man. My first choice would be President Trump reelected. So anyway.
All right, I'll bump Trump up from 3 to 4. So it's 4 Trump, 2 DeSantis, and 1 RFK. I got you in under the wire. All right, next, go ahead.
Okay. This recent letter that surfaced, supposedly written by Osama bin Laden, it's almost verbatim to these Hamas pro-Hamas protesters out in the streets. Now, supposedly, that wasn't even his main focus. His main focus was never the Israeli-Palestinian conflict anyway.
I don't want to cut you off. I just want to add something, because you're talking about something very, very important, very timely. It's been all over Twitter, the Osama bin Laden letter. And I'm going to give you all the time you need. I'm not cutting you short. I just want to give I'm sort of setting the table for what I think you're going to say. Now, after the September 11th attacks, those of us who remember it know that Osama bin Laden did a whole series of videos, you know, of him and standing in front of a cave with a rifle or a machine gun behind him, a Kalashnikov, and he'd be quoting from the Quran, giving Islamic law. And it was a real wake-up call where he actually explained what he did and why he did it and why Islam was at war with the West. And then suddenly George Bush said, oh, no, we can't listen to him anymore. And he ordered all the networks to cut off those broadcasts. And he said it was needed to protect us from subversion by Osama, when in fact George Bush was preventing us from learning who our enemy was and how we could defeat our enemy. So it was a very despicable thing that George Bush did. The second thing is, and I'm just going to be brief about this, everything you need to know about Osama bin Laden is posted on our website, libertyandprosperity.com. I wrote 2 articles that were published by the American Thinker magazine, and they tell you clearly how Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden started 300 years ago with a guy called Wahhab, and how this Wahhabi movement, this war against Western civilization, had started, how deadly it was, and how it revived in Saudi Arabia with the Saud family, which is, by the way, intermarried with the Wahhab family, and the sophisticated Deoband school in India, how for 300 years it all led to Osama bin Laden. So I just want to put that out. All right, now the time is yours, John. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just wondering if that was an audio from Osama bin Laden saying that he was, you know, that he was behind 9/11, or that was actually him holding a Kalashnikov AK-47 saying that. I don't know.
Right.
I'd have to look into that more. But anyway, I don't believe he was taken out on May Day 2011. And the reason why I don't think so is he wasn't hiding in a cave or a Pukka Kutchi, which is an ordinary Pakistani house. Now, he was caught in a Pukka Kutchi. That's an ordinary Pakistani house over the border in Pakistan. He wasn't in a cave. He wasn't in a bunker. And he already knew that the Americans had taken Afghanistan by then. So what was he doing? Just a plain target, that's all. And also...
Well, let me answer that question. Let me answer that question, because that's okay. In that Liberty and Prosperity Post. Because for 20 years, we were at war with the Taliban. And Taliban is an Urdu word, and Urdu is like a variant of Persian or Iranian. It means students. And who were the students? Well, they were students of this school in India, a Wahhabi school called the Deoband College in India, who have been working with the Saudis for 300 years. So here we were at war with the students, and yet our allies were the teachers of the students, the people who were running Pakistan, the people running Saudi Arabia. So, of course, bin Laden was a guest in their house, and, of course, they let him live comfortably until... I guess it wasn't convenient for it anymore, and then they, they let him go. But there was no mystery at all if you understand who we're dealing with. All right, John, continue.
Yes, I have no doubt that radical Islamism is a threat to the world. Absolutely, I have no argument at all. But supposedly his body was dumped at sea to honor an Islamic custom. Now, back in the 19th century, if you have 1,000 miles to go yet, your boat's traveling, your ship is traveling at 4 knots, which is less than 5 miles per hour, and the body's under rigor mortis, and it starts to stink the whole ship up. Yeah, you have to bury it at sea. But they could have put that body in a jet plane and had it at ground zero or Washington, D.C. within hours. So it makes me very suspicious about what's going on.
Well, it's a shame we didn't have Black Jack Pershing. We had the same jihad going on in the Philippines in the early 1900s, and of course what John Pershing did, who led our troops in World War I, he would wrap the bodies in bacon and pork before burying them. All right, one more point, John, then I want to get to Bob and Kate May. Go ahead.
Okay. This is not really off topic. It's about the deception that's going on. Randy Weaver was shot, his wife was shot to death pregnant, holding an infant child. Also, his son was murdered, and to keep his daughter from being murdered, he finally surrendered to the FBI. Supposedly, he was a white supremacist. Now, some of his best friends in Idaho, which is a part of the American Great Readout, were Native American Indians. He got along very well with them. He did go visit the surrounding Aryan Nations compounds, and he found out how radical they were, and he got into an argument with them. And he told the FBI, he says, "It's no way I'm going to go back there and tell them I'm with you now to be an informant, now that, you know, I have a wife and kids to protect."
That's a whole different topic. I'm glad you brought it up, and I let you go there because you indulged me when I interrupted you. But all right, the Randy Weaver story, that'll be a story for another day. But thank you so much for calling in, John. Have a good weekend. All right, do we have time for Bob of Cape May, or do we take a break? Bob of Cape May, welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Hello, Seth. Look, so my vote's with DeSantis. I hope you can include me in your impromptu.
Well, if I could do it for John of OC, I could do it for you.
That
brings us to 4 Trump, 3 DeSantis, and 1 RFK Jr.
We're getting close, Seth. Look, DeSantis.
Oh, well, by the way, if you include Seth Grossman, it would be 4-4, but that would not be fair, though.
Okay. It's going to go to the House of Representatives now. So, anyway, Seth, look, Ron DeSantis has been the most effective governor in my lifetime in terms of using the levers of government to make conservative principles a reality. So, you know, we've been complaining. Republicans, politicians, they give lip service, and conservatives have been complaining about the long list of items. Critical race theory, Soros that do not enforce the law. I can just go on.
You mean Soros appointed prosecutors and sheriffs, right?
Correct. And, yeah. and I can go on and on here. You know, the transgender teaching in schools, the indoctrination of our school systems, the higher education system that we've complained about. Well, Ron DeSantis has done something about that. All of those items and more. They all do not, you know, everything that we conservatives complain about does not exist in Florida. It just doesn't, because Ron DeSantis has made fundamental changes. Now, a new college in Sarasota, where I live in the winter, that was a liberal bastion. Nothing but garbage was being taught there. Gender studies, Afrocentric studies, everything dealing with hating this country. And those trustees were all fired. They're all fired. Now we have patriotic trustees that teach these kids the fundamentals of education now, okay? Not indoctrination, but the fundamentals of good scholarship.